Easy does it. Colossians 2:2. So this is Colossians 2:2 in the Translinear Bible. This is the Ancient Roots Translinear Bible. You can look it up on Amazon Kindle. It is not available in hard print. You have to get it on Kindle, unfortunately, but it is very good. You could probably find a way to get this printed on a printer, but I don't know how to do that. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts would be comforted. Okay, so this is Paul, and he's saying, he's writing to these guys. He says that I desire that you know which marathon exists, it's a race, in exchange for you and in exchange for those in Laodicea, which is West Turkey, and in exchange for those remaining that never saw my face. So this is what he desires, that their hearts would be comforted, and by love they will touch all the riches of the conviction and the understanding of the knowledge of the secret of God the Father and of the Messiah. Okay? So what he's saying here, now I'm going to also read this in the New Living, just so you have another translation, because again, there's a lot of words there. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. So again, there's a mystery, mysterion. This is one of the most used words by the Apostle Paul, mysterion or mystery. And the God's mystery or his mysterion is Yeshua, right? That's his mystery. Think about the degree of complexity it required to actually hide Christ inside of the creation from before time. That's an extremely complex thing to do. I mean, think about all of the ins and outs of everything that happens just on a day-to-day life of just one person and how complicated that is. And yet God hid inside of creation Christ, who is the Savior of the whole of creation. He saves the whole planet. And he hid it inside of creation. And then not only did he hide it in the creation, he hid him in time. Now, I would like to say that we remember 2,000 years ago, but 2,000 years ago is just how we perceive it. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because we're inside of time, it manifests 2,000 years ago. Or 2,000 years in the future, if you were from the time before Christ, right? But in reality, Christ is hidden in the creation before time, and he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Well, how did that even happen? So there's a lot of mystery involved in this whole process. But what's great about this is that God is going to share and has shared this mystery with us for those that want it. Remember, this is a clue for everything, okay? If you want it, you get it. If you want it, you get it. Wanting something is an important aspect of engaging in the Spirit. It's very important. If you don't want it, you don't get it. Does that make sense? Now, God will give you tastes because you may not know about it. So he says, hey, here's this, here's that. You know, I remember, you know, it's 9 years ago, I had tastes of seeing in the Spirit, seeing the heavenly realms, and engaging with Jesus now in heaven, and not thinking that's something I had to say for the, and I got tastes of it, and I was like, wait, what? I can do that now? I thought I had to die. I'm not dead. I'm still alive, and I'm actually encountering Jesus in heaven. How is that even possible? I didn't know that was possible. So Jesus gave me a taste of this, and then he said, you know, he's like, I'm like, what? He goes, you know, this isn't the first time you've done that. And I'm like, really? And then he reminded me of other times that I had encounters with him in the heavens. And I was like, oh, you're right. This isn't the first time I've done that. That's great. So he gave me these tastes, and then I say, I want this. I want more. I want more of these encounters with you. I want more. I want to see more. Oh no, Jamin, if you do that, you're gonna see something bad. Oh, no, that's a religious spirit. Watch out, those are bad, right? What's the truth? The truth is, Jesus said, if you desire the Spirit, God is not going to give you something bad. He's going to give you what you want. So desire is a major part of what God reveals to our hearts. Do we want it? If we want it, He will show us. If we don't want it, then we don't have it. Hey, nothing lost there, right? You didn't want it, you didn't get it. Some people are not interested in spiritual things at all. And as a matter of fact, if they hear a lot of spiritual things, they're like, oh, no. I don't want to hear that. What I would like to hear, you know, and then fill in the blank, you know. Usually it's more natural, you know, more soulish. There are a lot of teachings that have good injections of spiritual concepts into them, but at their base, they only have a temporal benefit. In other words, you say, well, it could be for my retirement. That's still temporary. You know, it's in the future. Yes, I get you, but it's still temporary because it doesn't have any eternal weight. It has a temporal weight, and it's okay. You can have temporal weight things. You got to do stuff, right? But what do you want from the Lord? That's the question. And Jesus would do this all the time. And you watch him. Here comes a blind man. And Jesus is like, what do you want? I want to see. Gotcha. You see what I'm saying? He wants to know what we want. He fulfills the desires of our heart. So he says, what's your dream? Like I was talking about, like that TV show. Jesus says, what's your dream? He knows what your dream is. He's the one that put it in there. But he wants to hear you say it. He wants to know what you want. And I'm not talking about your soul. Your soul always wants something. I want a new car. I want a house. I want this. I got you. God's got plenty of houses. He's got plenty of cars. Don't worry about that. He's talking about right down in the middle, in the spirit, where eternity is. He put eternity in your heart. He's asking for those kind of things. There's many houses. There's many cars. There's many riches in the natural. They come and go, they in and out. They're tools. But he wants to know what is going on in the middle, where eternity is. What do you want? Because what does he say? He says, I give you my life. He puts his arms out and he dies. He will give you anything you ask. He will give you anything. If he would give you his own life, he will give you anything. So what the clue here is, what do you want? So when we're talking about the mystery of Christ, we're talking about, do you want to know this mystery? Do you want this to be uncovered and revealed to you? Because inside of the mystery of Christ is all sorts of stuff. You know, there's science in there. You know, science is just the rules of creation. That's all that they are. In other words, this miracle of creation is so phenomenal that we created an entire study of the rules of it and we called it science. That's how big of a miracle it is. Like, it can be studied. It has its own laws, its own rules that kind of govern it and things, you know, time, space, gravity, you know. And we're like, we're so smart. We're so smart. We figured out quantum physics. And you're like, yeah, but who made quantum physics? Because that's the one who's the real smart one here. And maybe we should know that person. That would be the best way to go. So what do you want? Do you just want to be smart? Because that has a temporal benefit, I guess. Or do you want to engage with the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, which is contained within it, all of the mysteries of God? Not so that you can be proud, but that so you can enjoy something. Something that can be enjoyed. You see, and God enjoys stuff. He likes it. We're taught that if we don't enjoy something, that that means it's good. No, God made things for us to enjoy. Why did he put colors on the earth if we're not supposed to enjoy colors? Why did he put fruit? Why does fruit taste so good? Because he wants you to eat them. Because they're good for you. He made them for us. So he puts things on the earth for us to enjoy, and we are supposed to enjoy them because when we enjoy them, we get the benefit. The soul is never satisfied. So we run through things. Boom, 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 boom. You know, we eat our food fast. We go here fast. We do this fast. Why is that? Because the soul is waiting for the next thing. It wants to get through this one so we can get to the next one because this isn't going to satisfy you. But who satisfies you? Christ does. So there is this experience we can have in him in contemplation inside where we actually enjoy the Lord himself. We're like, what are you doing? I'm just enjoying the Lord. Well, what's in the Lord? All the mysteries of God, all the goodness of God, everything that my soul goes after to get this satisfaction that just disappears after a moment, it's all inside of him. And so if I would just sit with him at rest in the spirit without all the extra stuff on the outside, I would learn how to contemplate, enjoy, and what did the Bible say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. So taking the time to calm the soul down by sitting in that place of authority in Christ and bringing your soul into subjection and then tasting of the things of the kingdom of heaven, the love of God. Even to think about for a second, like, Jesus loves me. What is in that? That's a pretty big deal when you just sit and contemplate that one thought. You know, it's not something that if you take it with the weightiness that it contains within it, eternity is inside of just one single thought on him. So this is the mysterion. So how do mysteries get solved? Well, they are uncovered step at a time. You know, it's not a book, it's a mystery. It's not a fact, it's a mystery. What is the mystery? It's the mystery of Christ, the mysterion, right? So we have this. Now, this is actually in us. That makes it even more of a mystery. How did this get in me? Well, it's in you through Christ. But look at what it says. I want them to be encouraged. This is in the New Living Translation. So he's talking about those that haven't seen Paul, okay? Because one of the things that Paul received was the mysterion. He received that when he went to heaven. Says that he got it directly from Jesus himself. Again, an experience. He didn't read it in a book. And he knew the books. Trust me, he was the top book guy. You know, studied under Gamaliel, right? He is the top guy. He's one of the best. Paul was literally head and tails above everyone. And how did he get his revelation of Jesus? In heaven. By Jesus himself. He gave it to him. Well, that's cool. Can you get stuff from heaven? You sure can. Should we be getting things from heaven? Yes, we should. That is how you get taught. There are certain people, without getting into great detail, that actually are receiving information from angels in heaven right now. And they're sharing it. And they don't understand all of it, but they understand some of it. It takes a lot of humility to do this, you guys. It takes a ton of humility. As humble as you think you are, it's even more humble than that. Because it isn't about what we know, it's about who we know. And we know him, okay? So what does it say? I want them to be encouraged and knit together. So we talk a lot, and I want to talk about this just real quick. This would be like a double point here, okay? Second point is this. I want them to be encouraged and knit together. How? By strong ties of love. So we have all of these wonderful people all over the earth, our family. We call it our church family, but it's our family. It's our actual family in heaven. And they're all over. We have family that is blood related, and we have family that is spirit related. Okay? So the spirit related family is in heaven. And on earth, we're in both places. And he is saying here, Paul, that to be knit together by love. That means that you may not see everything exactly like another person. You may disagree. I have seen some of the people I follow that are actually in a community together, and they disagree completely. They're not even close to the same. Same agreement on certain topics in the scripture. They're not even close, but they come together in love because it's the love of God that brings us together. Because you know what you find out? Nobody really knows everything. And everybody's wrong to a certain degree, and everybody's right to a certain degree, and that degree is the degree of Christ. You know, only one person has it all, and that's him. So That is a good thing to remember. So when you're thinking about unity, because, you know, sometimes church people leave churches, they get upset, they do this, there's offense, you know. Sometimes people get offended. They get offended over weird things. And then, like, you find out, you're like, that actually wasn't even real. That didn't even happen. That person was mistaken completely. Like, they looked at the whole situation completely wrong, got offended, left the church, left whatever, and it never even happened. They don't know that, though, you know, but that offense was real. So what brings us together is love. Well, what does love do? Love never gets offended, ever. They're unoffendable. It is impossible to offend us. Impossible. You just, like, slap them in the face, not offended. Talk bad about you, not offended. It's impossible to offend sons of God. It's very frustrating for the dark side, but you cannot offend us. You can't. We're unoffendable because the love of God doesn't ever take offense because we're not proud. Everything we have is a gift. Everything we have has been given to us, and we're just grateful. We're unoffendable. People might say silly things about you or me or whoever, but we don't take offense. You know why? Because we're not knit together by whether we're right or wrong. We're knit together by ties of love. So you can see on both sides, you have this mysterion of Christ, and then you have what knits us together, how much of Christ we know? No, his love does. Because we're all really children in our understanding. We don't really understand things like we should, but we are learning. So no matter how much, you know, you kind of want to go at it, and some people have just, like, left this whole concept altogether, and they're just like, I don't know nothing, and I just want to feel good and go to church and feel good about it. Be like, okay, so I'm good, right? But there is more if you desire, and Christ is the more. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. That means he's the beginning. So he's the first point at which you started, which is when you came into Christ, which you came into Christ 2,000 years ago. But when you accepted that, right, you realize that now you're experiencing it, and he's the Omega, he's the end. So everything is contained in him. So everything that we have in heaven and earth is in him. Everything. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything is found in Christ. He is our access point for everything good that happens to us in life. Everything comes through him. And he is the mystery. And in verse 3, in him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him. What book is him? He's a person, right? And then in the Aramaic, verse 3 says this, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are covered by him. Okay? So anyway, so that's like my little mini message. And we'll close with that, but meditate, think on, what do you want? God will give you what you want.